If you would, to Philippians chapter number 2. I got thinking this morning, we passed by the name of Jesus. I got thinking about his name. I want to just share a thought or two tonight with you, if I could. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6. Let's go to verse number 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now here what we're being told is that Jesus was God. Now, before he came, he was in the form of God. A lot of people didn't understand. When you talk about the Trinity of God, it's hard to understand. The Bible makes clear God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Bible says these three are one. Now, I've heard some people say, well, it's impossible for three to be one. But what it's talking about is they are of one mind. They are of one purpose. They never contradict each other. You'll not find Jesus, the Son, contradicting the Father, the Holy Ghost, and all three of them are three essence of God. That's why in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he said, "Let us make," plural. And so from the beginning, we had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now sometimes what people gets into, and it's confusing to them, they think that God looks like us because we were made in the image and likeness of God. But the image and likeness there in Genesis means that we were made with two or three things. We were made with the ability of eternal existence. When God made man, then he breathed in him the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Every soul will continue on living. No soul ceases from living. You either die, when you die, you either go to hell or you go to heaven. But the soul will not cease to exist. When God made man, he put in man the likeness and image of God, where we have that ability. We have that thing that separates us from all other animal species. We cannot be equated with animals. Human beings has a soul, eternal soul. Animals, someone was telling me this last week, they were feeling so sorry for a little pup they saw and said they couldn't sleep. I said, rest. Animals got instincts. And if you couldn't do nothing for it, you can't lose sleep over it. I said, if you want to worry about something, worry about all these souls spiritually that are starving, spiritually that are dead, spiritually that are dying, and they've got an eternal soul that's going to exist on forever in hell. I said, those are the ones that you need to lose sleep over. Those are the ones that needs to keep you up at night. Amen. But anyway, getting back, he made us to have the ability to choose, make choices. And so therefore, and you know, until Adam and Eve took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God made the choices for them. He decided what was good and evil. When they took that, then they began to decide what was good and evil. And then the Bible says in Isaiah 5, verse 20, that we get to the place where we call good evil and evil good. I think we've gotten that place now. But anyway, I want you to understand that in the beginning was always God. Amen. When John starts to describe Jesus, he said, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." Amen. Everything that was made by him. Amen. The Word became flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, his only begotten a son of God, full of grace and truth. So what we have to understand is that we have three beings in the Godhead. Now, I said that to say this, to understand the scripture. It says in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The word reputation means to be emptied out. To empty yourself of what you are and to become as nothing. So he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. In other words, when they would see him, he would look like just a common servant. And was made in the likeness of men. So here, the Son of God. Now we have instances in the Old Testament where the Son of God appeared before he was born in a manger, born to Mary, and born with the likeness of men. He appeared. He had the ability to appear, and he had the ability to disappear. He would come down. We saw him once in the Garden of Eden when the voice of God come walking through the garden. Then we find that Joshua saw the captain of his salvation. Then we saw the three Hebrew children in the burning furnace, and lo and behold, Nebuchadnezzar said, there's four men down there, and one looks like the Son of God. Amen. And so we find him several times. We find Moses talking to him in a burning bush. And he told him, pull his shoes off, because he was on holy ground. How Jesus looked before he was born of a woman, we don't know. He made his appearances. But the Bible says that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You can't put a picture of God the Father. You say, how do we know what God the Father looks like? Jesus, all he left us to know is this. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Doesn't mean that he looked like him image-wise. It means that if you saw who Jesus was, you understand who the God the Father is. And of course, we know that God the Father hid Moses and told him to go hide in the cleft of the rock. And he got to see his glory, the backside of him. And he passed by and his face shone for 40 days. How the image of God and what they look like is beyond our understanding at this time. But Jesus come, and whatever he was in heaven that all the angels worship and all the creation in heaven that knew him and recognized him, whatever he was, he lowered himself. He emptied himself out of what he was used to being in heaven. And he come down, he was born of a woman. Of course, you know the story of born in a stable. Born among animals. No room in the inn. He didn't have a king's birth. He had a peasant's birth. And here he was, the Son of God. Come down, made himself of no reputation. And you may not realize this, but not only did he come and take on the likeness of man to walk upon this earth and to go to the cross of Calvary and die, when he took upon him the likeness of man, he became a man and God-man. And when he became man, he wanted to experience the same thing that man experienced. And so he had to go through. He was going to offer himself up a man, and to offer himself up a man, he had to be tempted the same way we are tempted. He had to know the different ways in which we have been affected in this body, and so he took upon him body. The body hurt, it had pain, it had all those things, yet it was God, yet it was man. Hard to understand. Of course, he had no earthly father. Holy Ghost, God, was the one that caused Mary to become pregnant. Now, we know here that when he came and he walked upon the earth, that he went to the temptation in the wilderness to the devil. And every time the devil tried to tempt him as a son of God, because he knew who he was, then he would go back to being man. And he would respond to the devil as man and face the temptation as a man. Why? Because he had to be tempted in all points like us. Because when he went to the cross of Calvary, he was going to accomplish something that no other man ever accomplished. He was going to walk upon this earth for 33 years and yet be without sin. And yet he, when he offered himself as a sacrifice, as a propitiation for the sins of the world, the Father was going to accept him because he was a lamb without blemish. And therefore, God the Father had taught all the way from the beginning when the first animal was slain that an innocent blood could be a substitute for another man's sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, what God the Father did was he slew an innocent animal. And their blood, and they were covered with his skins, and their his blood. And Abel found the same thing out, and all the way down through the pages of Bible. And so therefore, when Jesus, the Son of God, man, came, he died upon the cross as a man. Now get this a minute. When he went to the cross, he died. We talked about this the other day. He gave his life, laid it down. No man took it. He gave it. Amen. The reason why is, had Jesus not voluntarily died, he would have never died. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. He would have never known death because he had no sin. So therefore, and you know the amazing thing, you never see a time when sin come into the world, sweat came into the world. Did you know that? By the sweat of man's brow. When sin came into the world, sickness came into the world. When sin come into the world, thorns and thistles came into the world. But Jesus walked for 33 years and never had a stuffy nose, never had a cough, never had an issue. You know why? No sin. And therefore he come, and as he did this thing, he went to the cross and he died. And he took and he bare upon him the scars of the cross of Calvary. Now, not only, and you got to get this and understand, remember what he had in heaven. Everybody in heaven, all the angels, worshiped him. Day and night, day and night. Amen. He come down here and took upon him the image and likeness of a man. Then after he died, he went down, he commended his spirit unto the Father. He bowed his head, he gave up the ghost. He went down into hell, heart of the earth, for 3 days and three nights. Peter says he went down and preached to the spirits in prison, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And he went down there, and then he resurrected after 3 days and three nights. But he resurrected in the same body. He had a body. He ascended up to heaven with that same body. He sat down at the right hand of the Father in that same body. That same body, now you've got to understand, the Son of God emptied himself out not only for 33 years, but for the rest of eternity. He still bears the image of man. He is still, and that's why in heaven, every time they look, they see the Lamb of God, he is slain. When he comes back and Israel sees him and he comes back, the Bible said they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. They will see the piercings. So when it says that he took upon him the image of man after he emptied himself, it's much deeper than what we know. He has continually taken upon him the image of man. But it was all in God's plan. Because the body in which he now possesses. And of course, we know after his resurrection, all the disciples was met together, the door was closed, and he just come in. He had that ability. What it means to have a glorified body, we don't know the limits and we don't know half of. But we do know this, that God's plan is that whatever Jesus ended up with, the body of Jesus, when we see him, we shall be like him. So here, when it says that Jesus took upon him a form of in the likeness of man, in verse number 7, and the form of a servant, and of no reputation, we've got to understand that how much he emptied himself and lowered himself for our behalf. So Bible says in verse 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to what? He freely, willingly came for one purpose. And sometimes we look, and I know I say this a lot, but you've got to get this in your mind. The cross of Calvary was more than just somebody smacking him in the face and pulling his beard and putting a thorn on his head and pushing it down and causing a little blood to run out of his head. It was taking upon him the wrath of God, the sins of the world being placed upon him, and it was such a great value and such a great weight that when God did that, he turned the lights out in the world. For 3 hours at noontime, darkness covered the earth. Imagine that. Why? Because the Son of God, who was up there, that made everything, that everything was made for him and by him, and yet he come and he took upon him a man, and man nailed him to the cross, and man put him there, and God placed upon him the iniquity of us all, and God turned the lights out. As he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then look on. Became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. The word exalted means it's raised him up to the highest level, to lift him up, exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. Now let me say this. Every one of us has certain names. And we may think our names are important. Now my name, I was named sort of after Dad. He found out later on that my name wasn't exactly like his birth certificate. It comes as a shock to him about 30 or 40 years down the road. But 21. But anyway, the point is, they named me for a purpose. But our purposes and our names doesn't mean a lot. But Jesus has got a name. Now, Jesus didn't happen to have that name. He was given a name. And I know there's other people that calls their children Jesus. But there is only one Jesus. Amen. The name Jesus, the angel came to Mary and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. In other words, when we see the name Jesus, we understand that Jehovah is a holy, just God. Now, when you read the names, the three primary names of God in the Bible, Elohim, Jehovah, I went blank. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, Jehovah is 6,000 times in the Bible. The scribes, when they would transcribe the Bible, when they would come to the name Jehovah, they would wash themselves, and they would take a new pen and they would quill, and they would write the name Jehovah and throw it in a fire because they never wanted the pen to ever write another name after it wrote the name Jehovah. Jehovah meant holy one. But Jehovah also meant God hates sin, and he's holy, and he can't look upon sin. But also Jehovah is holy, and he loves sinners, and therefore Jehovah provided a way that sinners might be saved from the wrath of Almighty God. And it was through this name Jesus. He was given a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, sins can be forgiven. No other name can forgive sins.
Amen.
No other name. When the disciples went around and they were cast out demons, Peter didn't say, upon my authority, you come out of there, demon. It had to be the name of Jesus. He was given a name above every name. When we pray, I told you a story one time when I was invited to the governor's mansion for a prayer breakfast. And they sent out a little thing at that time. They had all these people in all these costumes lined up to come across the stage. And I call them costumes because the little note that they sent was this. If you don't mind, when you pray, refrain yourself from praying in Jesus' name because it's offensive. And so everybody in their little costumes came up. Most of them had little already letters and all this wrote out, and they'd exhaust themselves in big old high words and big loud speech, and they had all these costumes on. And I sat there and I thought to myself, what hypocrisy. Not a one of those prayers are going through. Because the Bible plainly teaches that we only have one name in which we can reach the Father with request.
Amen.
Whatever we pray for, we have to ask in the name of Jesus. He has been given the only name that has access to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's been given a name above every other name. And so therefore, anything that we have, somebody said, well, all these other religions, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Let me tell you something. Anybody that doesn't go through Jesus as a son of God doesn't get to God. There's only one access to God, and that's through Jesus. He's been given a name above every name. Look in verse 10. That is the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I used to wonder about this, and then I finally figured it out as I studied. Paul said to the Corinthian church, don't you know that you're going to judge the world? Then he went on to say this, he said, don't you know in that same chapter you're going to judge angels? I thought, when are we going to judge the world and when are we going to judge angels? But the Bible says that when Jesus comes back and when the marriage of the bride, that we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherever he is, we will be there. And so when Jesus stands there and he judges at the great white throne judgment and they come before him, when they come before him, every knee will be bowing. And we will be there with him. And therefore, as the world comes and lost world comes, they will be judged. Even the angels will be judged. The fallen angels will come and stand before Jesus. And they will be cast. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. They shall be cast in the lake of fire. They're to be tormented forever and ever. Now, get this. You know why Jesus was upon the earth. Several times he had an occasion to come across someone who possessed with the demons. And what did those demons do when they seen Jesus? They'd cry out and they'd say, what have thou to do with us, thy son of the most high God? They knew who he was. They know all about him.
Amen.
And so therefore, what you need to understand is, you know, down here upon this earth, they can use God's name in vain. They can curse. They can take Jesus and mock his name. But someday, everybody will bow before Jesus.
Amen.
And you'll either do it here or you do it there.
Right.
But you'll do it one of the two places. Amen. The only difference is if you bow here, you go to heaven. If you bow there, you go to hell. And you'll be cast in the lake of fire when you bow. But every knee shall bow. And everybody will bow, showing him the honor and glory that he deserves. And they will bow before him. Isaiah said about the devil, Lucifer, when he was cast out of heaven, that when he, at the end, and he'll be put in the pit, that we will narrowly look upon him, because when we see him compared to Jesus, there'll be no comparison. That's right. Amen. And he'll do just exactly what Jesus tells him to do. And somebody said, "Well, Satan, I'm going to side with him." Well, you're fighting a losing battle, because he's going to be cast in hell, be tormented forever and ever himself. And if you think you're going to go down to hell and have a party, you got another thought coming. I don't even like these bumper stickers that says something about party in hell. There's no parties in hell. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth and darkness, and it's nothing to be made joke of, and it's nothing to laugh about. Don't ever make a mockery of hell, because hell is going to be more severe than anybody knows. But look here, look back. Notice that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. In other words, at that time, everywhere they're going to bow. When you look up in heaven, John got to see in heaven, you know what they'd do when the Lamb of God was around? They were sitting around praising him. Glory, honor. Glory, honor. And they were just holy, holy, holy. They were just praising him night and day. You know why? That's what he deserves now. Because of what he did. On earth, there are some that comes to the realization of who Jesus was and what he done. And those who believe upon Jesus will be saved. And they'll go to a place in heaven. The Bible says that is a narrow way, because there's only one way, Jesus. That's why when it says it's straight and narrow gate, it's talking about because there's only one way. You're not going to haphazardly stumble into heaven. You're not going to haphazardly just happen to show up there. If you show up there, it'll be because you bowed and recognized who Jesus was while he was here on this earth. But then things under the earth. Whenever the great white throne, death and hell will deliver up the dead in them. And they'll stand before the great white throne judgment. And they'll be judged. And when their name's not found written in the book of life, they'll be cast in the lake of fire. There to be tormented forever and ever and ever. The Bible said this is a second death. But notice on. Verse number 11. And that every tongue should what? Confess means that you recognize and you own up and you agree with who Jesus is. So therefore you will either believe in him here or you will believe in him there. But I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says, James chapter 2 and verse 19, talking about the demons. Devils. He said, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Even the devils believe and tremble. When they stand before this Jesus in great white throne judgment, and they're brought up, and they have to stand before him, and they're going to be cast in their place that was prepared for them. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. They're going to tremble at the name of Jesus. But everybody who passed by there, every infidel, everyone's cursed Jesus' name, everyone's mocked Jesus, everyone ignored Jesus, everyone turned away Jesus, when they come before Jesus, they will all admit he is a son of the Most High God. They will confess, and everybody will be in agreement about this man Jesus, the Son of God, who he is and what he has done. And the Bible says, if you look back, and then every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. That word Lord means he's master. He's due to have control over everything and everybody. Adonai was the other name I was thinking about. That's what the word Lord means when you see it with capital L and little ORD in the Bible. It's Adonai. Jesus Christ is Adonai. That's why the Bible says when we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. In other words, we submit ourselves to the place in our life where we're willing to confess that He is the Son of God. He is due to be master of us. He is due to be over us. And we submit ourselves unto Him and we turn to Him and call upon Him when we call upon the name of the Lord, Adonai. Thou shalt be saved. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so through Jesus, we have salvation. The Bible says to the glory of God the Father. God the Father has been pleased with the Son. That's why when He was here and He was baptized, when He come up out of the water, God the Father spoke from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Ghost of God descended down upon Him as a dove as He come up out of the water. You saw the Trinity in action all in one place. And so here you had God saying, "I'm pleased with my Son." And so therefore He has given Him this name above all names. And when it's all said and done and everything's finished, there will be those in hell and God will get glory out of those in hell. You know why? Even though they rejected Jesus, even though they're dying in torment and forever and ever shall be tormented in hell, they gave His Son honor and they confessed who He was. They bowed before Him and God got the glory. And God's every one of our lives has been made that God will get glory. And He'll either get glory out of you through eternity in heaven, or He'll get glory out of you before you're cast into hell. But He will get glory.
Amen.
And so tonight, this morning, I was thinking, when we just passed by and I talked about His name, I thought, the Lord just kind of laid upon my heart tonight just to talk about His name a minute. Folks, God's going to get glory out of Jesus. And you're going to give Him glory in this earth. You're going to have to give Him after you come out of the hell. But you shall give Him glory. And as I said this morning, I'll say this and I'll close. Eternity and in heaven. And by the way, I've got this tape of this guy. This shows you how foolish people are. I got this tape of this guy. I can't remember his name now. Chris may remember. She's heard me talk about it a time or two. I can't remember what his name is now. It's been a long time since I listened to it. Percy. His name was Percy something, and he claimed to have gone to heaven. Huh? I don't remember. But anyway, the guy's named Percy. And he'd go out and he would sell out gymnasiums and coliseums of people come hear him talk. And I listened to one of his tapes as he gave his talk to people. He said, "Yeah," I went up there and he said, Paul said, "Hey, Percy, what you doing?" And boy, you've sure been a good servant of God. And he'd talk about Job and David. I said, "What a mockery." When we get to heaven, there's only going to be one that's going to receive all praise.
Amen.
It's going to be Jesus. In heaven throughout eternity, every song will be sung will have His name. Every word that will be said to praise someone will have His name. His name shall be exalted throughout all eternity. To the glory of the Father. And forever we will give praise. And whatever little that you may have deserved here and earned here, as I said this morning, when you look at the 24 elders, they cast their crowns before the Lamb of God. That's exactly what you'll do with every crown that you have. Because you'll recognize it wasn't you that was worthy for those crowns, but He. And that's why the Bible says that He shall be King of kings, Lord of lords, and upon Him shall be many crowns. And so He has been given a name above every name. Amen. Let me ask you this as we stand. Have you ever recognized Jesus as a Son of God? Have you ever bowed before Him and confessed His name? That's why the Bible says some people get confused in Romans, where it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Somebody said, what does confession have to do? That means you agree with who Jesus is. And until you agree with who and what He is, you'll never be saved. You've got to come to that agreement. Amen. Have you ever come to that agreement, recognized Him as the Son of God, died upon the cross of Calvary for your sins, and tonight God's dealing with you and drawing you to come, and you need to call upon Him to save your soul? Would you come tonight? Friend,